Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 12, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 43, the very last paragraph in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. Today's readers are Pam M. reading the 12 steps, Joanne L. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Sherry K. B., Christina J., and Julie E. B. The reference numbers for the last two meetings, yesterday, 10 a.m., March 11th, the meeting number is 16,564 or 16564. And for this morning, Friday a.m., 7 a.m. meeting on March 12th, the reference number is 16,571 or 16571. Today, our newcomer greeter will be Betsy H. Making announcements will be Sherry M., and recording and monitoring for us is Nadia B. Thank you all. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Add a vision for you, Big Book study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. And the 12 steps of Overeater Anonymous are... One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Pam M. And Joanne L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. Someone's not muted, please, if you would check your phone. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study on page 43 in the Big Book, the last paragraph in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. And I will ask Sherry KB to get us started. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California, a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. This is the last paragraph of this chapter, and it's bringing it home to the fact that once more I've got to be reminded over and over and over again every day that I have no really effective mental defense against the first drink, the first bite. And when I looked up the word effective and the definition of it means successful in producing a desire or intent result. So it's telling me that as much as I have a desire to overcome that first bite, this disease, I have no mental defense against it. And throughout this entire chapter, more about alcoholism, it showed in three stories about how, you know, people could not overcome the mental defense against that first bite. And so what makes me think that I can? And it's telling me that not me, not another person can help me do this, but a power greater than myself, because I don't have that defense. Only my higher power, only it comes from a power greater than myself. And I also know that, you know, for me, my higher power is infinite, which means limitless, which has defense. But me being finite, I have no defense. And, you know, how insane is that, trying to power up on my disease? It's like trying to tame a tiger and grabbing it by its tail, to me. And, you know, my disease wants me to think it's not that bad. And the more I read this book, the more I get into the steps, the more I recognize how cunning, baffling, and powerful this disease is, and that part of my problem has been not taking it so seriously. There's an old saying that in our in another fellowship, they take the disease seriously and don't take themselves so seriously. In an OA, we take ourselves too seriously and don't take the disease seriously enough. And I know for me that I've done that. You know, I can look at my own record, my own history with this disease, and that I was always trying to do it by myself. I always thought I could lick this disease. I didn't realize I had a built-in forgetter. I didn't realize how cunning, baffling, and powerful this disease is, because part of my disease wanted me to think it wasn't that bad, or I wasn't as bad as you. And, you know, it has kicked me to the curb so many times. And there's so many possibilities with my higher power, and there's not, I'm limited as far as my possibilities around this disease. And so I really, it's telling me to pay attention to this, and I'm grateful for all of this and all of you. Thanks, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Sherry KB, for getting us started. Okay, I'm going to take names of people who would like to share. Please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting. So if you shared in the last 2 days, you are welcome to listen and let others share today their experience. So who would like to share today?
Laura W.
Laura W.
Kathleen. This is Joe.
Kathleen O, and then I heard a male's voice. Who is that?
This is Joe.
Joe, what's your last initial, Joe?
G. Joe G.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Judy F.
Annabelle Z.
Okay, Judy F. Annabelle Z. Was there someone else?
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen T. That's a good lineup to get started, and we'll take more names later. So I have Laura W., Kathleen O., Joe G., Judy F., Annabelle Z., and Mary Ellen T. Laura W., please get us started.
Thanks, Kathy. I assume you can hear me. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And I've been listening this morning, and, you know, back in the 30s when they wrote this book, they say once more, and in today's standards, that kind of reminds me of an email that I, you know, you could get from, say, your boss or somebody saying, once again, like I already told you, you know, this is what has to happen. And once again, it's sort of like the nice way of saying, you know, wake up and smell the coffee here, because when they say once more, they like to reiterate the importance of it. And it's like a slap in the face, like, wake up. And the alcoholic, it has no effective mental defense against the first drink. I cannot eat my alcoholic foods in any shape, size, or form without going into relapse. It's just a fact. I've experimented enough. You know, I'm done with the research and development team. You know, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. So any therapist, any nutritionist, any sponsor, any parent, any husband, any wife, any are not going to be able to help me unless I'm in fit spiritual condition And I use that help as sort of a, you know, to help enhance my program. You know, everybody, the meetings help, of course, they help. The tools help, but again, they're just tools. They're not recovery. His defense must come from a higher power. And whatever that power is for you or me, that's our own choice. It doesn't have to be, everybody doesn't have to have the same power. Just like if I'm in a meeting with 100 people, there should be 100 different food plans because of everybody's different nutritional guidelines and body needs and activity levels. I think there are something like 67 musts in the first 164 pages of the big book. And, you know, these writers were very humble. They didn't like to tell us what to do. But if somebody says, you must do this, you know, I must pull the ripcord on the parachute in order to survive when I jump out of a plane. It's just that simple. So I must do this. This is not something for me to just read and move on like a magazine. You know, I need to live these steps. I need to live this program. And I need to do my best day after day, month after month, year after year, to be better today than I was yesterday. And with, you know, I've been recovered for many years, but I keep coming back. And not necessarily because I don't have anything else to do, but because it works. And I know that without constant work, constant growth, and constant change, I'll be back in it. You know, it doesn't matter if I have 15 years, 20 years, I'll be back in it. So grateful for this reminder. I'm grateful for this meeting every day, which is so powerful and strong. And I hope everybody has a good weekend. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Laura W. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. Hello, everybody. It's good to be on the line with all of you. So once more, no effective mental defense against the first bite. I didn't want to be a person who mentally obsesses about food, and I didn't want to be the person who had no control once I started. And like this chapter states, I wanted to believe that somehow, someday, I would be able to control and enjoy my food. But I have an obsession of the mind, and I'll never be normal when it comes to my trigger foods. I realized that when I was trying to control the food, it was actually controlling me. You know, once an addict, always an addict. And the true nature of this disease is between our ears. It's that strange mental twist. You know, the idea that I was going to ever be the person who could take one bite of something or one piece of something and stop, that idea had to be smashed. I had to surrender to the fact that I was never ever going to have control of that first bite. My only defense was belief in a higher power who could provide the defense against the first bite, like we're being told in this paragraph. And we're given several examples in this chapter that if left to our own resources, we eat again and again because our pain has no memory. You know, we're given the example of Jim, who does okay for a while, but he always drinks again. And you know, all is well at one point, and then he thinks a little whiskey in his milk couldn't hurt him. I mean, I have so many examples in my life that are exactly like Jim, and those thoughts always came when I failed to march on my spiritual life. You know, self-knowledge isn't a defense. I tried it. We're given the example of Fred when everything's going well, and he thinks, wouldn't it be nice to have a few cocktails, and he ends up in an asylum. I mean, I've been in that situation, too. Oh, a little of this, a little of that, and this situation is just going to be fine, Kathleen. Well, guess what? It wasn't. 50 pounds later. So, you know, if you're new or you're struggling, just trust the process. You know, act as if. I had to throw out the lifetime conception that I could do this myself. I have no mental defense when it comes to food. But if I do my 1%, if I work these steps, enlarge on my spiritual life, and stay connected to higher power and to you, this works, you know. And if you're struggling, those first days or weeks of abstinence are challenging. But remember that the worst day abstinent is better than the best day. I think I'm saying this right. It's better than the best day in the food. And when the thought comes that taking a bite is a good idea, just pause and play out where you know that bite's going to take you, where it's taking you over and over again. And trust me when I say that entire abstinence will be easy if you follow these simple directions. Takes less time to work the steps and take action than it takes time, the time it takes to be obsessed with food all day. And I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Joe G., please share with us. Joe, press star 1 to unmute.
Sorry there. I thought I was unmuted. Thank you very much. Yes, excellent chapter and excellent little paragraph there. Makes a lot of sense to me. I think about a lot of different things related to my program, and but I guess the first one that comes to my mind is about higher power. You know, I've really been expanding that. One of the weaknesses of my program is that growing up in a spiritual tradition that I still identify with, I thought, well, yeah, I believe in God, and I believe in a loving God and a God that can be helpful and all that sort of stuff. But I would sort of spend a little. I wasn't willing to reach out to other people. That's what's ironic about this. It says no other human being can provide such a defense. But for me, what that means is that no one human being can provide a defense, and I also can't think of it as that person is defending me. You know, that person is saving me. But I have very much come to believe that my higher power flows amongst the fellowship, and I don't like to reach out. I don't want to make phone calls, particularly around this issue, and because I do tend to minimize it. I do tend to think, I'm in some other fellowships that are a little more dramatic, apparently, on the surface than something as mundane as food, quote-unquote mundane. But, I have to constantly remind myself, I had my annual physical yesterday, and once again we went over my cholesterol numbers and my glucose numbers, which are, I have this pre-diabetic warning, and that's very serious. It's very serious, especially as I get older, and I have to keep reminding myself of that over and over again, that this program's key to my health, both mental and physical, into the future. So when I reach out to others in the program, which is very difficult for me to do, I am reaching out to my higher power, because and as long as I know that and I don't think it's about the other human being, then I feel I'm in the spirit of this paragraph. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Joe G. Judy F., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Judy S. as in Sam. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, please.
This is Judy S., as in Sam. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. So this last paragraph sums up the entire chapter. And, you know, the line, the alcoholic at certain times. So even when I'm recovered, even when I'm not, I'm totally neutral around the food right now, for today, but at any time, it's like at certain times, I have no idea when it might happen, but now I believe that if I have that thought or if I go towards some food, I know I have to immediately call on my higher power, and I have to every day work on that relationship so I have that connection and know that and believe that, I should say believe that more than anything else, that my higher power can give me effective mental defense. And step 2 is, you know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So came to believe, we're just beginning to believe in step 2. And, you know, then when we take step 3, you know, so it's that constant, we're increasing our belief that our God can restore us to sanity, because God has to be our mental defense, our higher power must be. And
in the beginning, you know, we have to do everything we can to stay abstinent. You know, it is hard the first few days and the first few weeks, even sometimes. Every time I've put down the food, and, you know, for 8 years I went in and out of the food, it was different. You know, sometimes I had to work really, really hard to keep down the food because I just wanted it so, so bad. And then I pick up again. But that's because I wasn't relying on my higher power. And that's what I can see now looking back. But right now, I know that I have to have that relationship with my higher power because I do not know when that certain time might be that I don't have any mental defense against it. I mean, I never do, actually. But if something comes up and I'm tempted or I have the thought, I know I can call on my higher power because my higher power is always there. So every day I believe more and more, and every day I'm becoming restored to more and more sanity because what I did with food was insane. And that's what I need to remember, that you know, I'm just so incredibly grateful for this program, for everybody who does service, everybody who shares. It's just changed my life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy S. Annabelle Z, please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z. I'm calling in from Washington State. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for all your service that everyone's doing on the line this morning. And I want to thank the lady that read. I really appreciated your share on this. I love what you said about take the disease seriously, but don't take myself so seriously, and to be able to not be so hard on myself. And, you know, this last little bit, it's really pretty clear. Like, the must is a serious word. And it brought me back to about 3 weeks ago when I was doing my prayer and meditation and two-way prayer with my higher power. And I asked my higher power, will you be my peace and take away this compulsion and obsession I have with food? And my higher power responded this: my child, daughter, Annabelle, this is my timing. You must get through the length of it. It's only been 4.5 months and you're still learning. You must share your experience, strength, and hope, and I will become a working part of your mind. And he goes on, my higher power just kept talking, and he said, you think about food, imagine I'm holding it. You wish you would eat something, see it behind me. You feel empty, let me draw my breath, blowing the spirit into you, and see what the spirit tells you. Allow every food thought to be a reminder to see me and call on me. Breathe me in, trust in me, ask me to fight your battle for you, and see me standing between you and the food. And I started doing that, and it was like literally the next day at work, there's this, you know, in the break room, you know, there's the big bowl of whatever and whatever. And immediately, boom, I had this image of my higher power, for how I imagine it to possibly look and feel, was like between me and it, and the food was behind it. And I'm like, oh, and it made me look at my higher power. I mean, it's just a silly, goofy thing. And I don't take myself, you know, so seriously about how I did it, but I take the disease very seriously. And so I welcomed even a goofy idea like that to help me because it did. And from then on, I've been able to just every time just go, oh, you're right there, higher power, you're right there. And every time I share my experience, strength, and hope with someone or on the line, my higher power is becoming a working part of my mind because I'm usually sharing about the higher power because it's the only thing that works. And the way I gain access to it and clear away the wreckage to deepen the access to it is to work all the steps. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Annabelle Z. Mary Ellen T., please share with us.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mary Ellen T. Zentango, and I live in the state of Oregon. I'm a recovered compulsive eater just for today. That's a good reminder for me, the just for today piece. It still feels uncomfortable to state that I'm recovered, just because I know how elusive my disease is. I've been in OA for 3 years now, and I've been studying the big book with you guys, and my disease is really very cunning, baffling, and sneaky. It's really, really difficult for me to see the truth and the false, and trying to get a real good sense of what entire abstinence means and what are my trigger foods, what are the foods that when I start to eat them, I don't want to stop, or I kind of I'll have a tendency to want to go back to those foods, even if I think I can control them. And, you know, consequently, I've had to have a lot of different experiences with surrender and really understanding the depth of my powerlessness with this addiction to foods that give me, you know, give me comfort and give me a sense of satisfaction and a sense of peace and ease that really only lasts just for a few minutes. But my desire, thank you, God, from listening to you guys and learning from my sponsors and learning from this big book, my desire really is just to be with higher power at the center of my life. And, you know, to carry the basic tenets that they tell from the big book, it's, you know, to, you know, all the basic requirements, all we need is to be willing to be honest and willing and open to the message that the big book shares with us and to what you all in recovery share with me. And that's really helped me just continue to forge forward even when I have had continued to experience just how sneaky and cunning my disease is. So surrender is a really big piece of this. And that's what this paragraph and the prior paragraph tell us is that, you know, there's, you know, professionals have told us that specialized in the area of alcoholism, there is no hope for people like me. The only thing that's going to help me is a higher power. And I'm so grateful that I was able to find one. And my higher power is a she. And, you know, it's just, she's, my relationship with her has just been really molded over time. And, you know, that relationship with her is really what is my my defense against the compulsive overeating and the binge behaviors. That's it for me. I pass.
Thanks so much, Mary Ellen T. Okay, a reminder for those who may have joined us late, we are sharing on the last paragraph on page 43, which is the last paragraph in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. And I would love to take some more names of people who would like to share. Who would like to share?
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Rowena K.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your first.
Rowena K.
Rowena K. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Christina J.
Christina J. Maybe one more? Okay, we'll go with these and we'll see if we have any time left at the end. So I have Jordan L., Julie E.B., Rowena K., and Christina J. Please share with us, Jordan.
Good morning, Kathy. Can you hear me?
And yes.
Okay, cool. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Sunny Denny this morning. I'm very grateful to be absent and on a meeting with you guys. the shares have been really beautiful so far. I very much appreciate what each person has said. Because this is hard, man. When you get here and you're getting abstinent and you're learning to, I had to like learn to trust and rely on something other than me. You know, and I can't even say that I'm all that good at it, you know, 3 years later. I still I still, my default is to trust and rely on me, you know? that's what I go back to, or to trust and rely on my mental defense, you know, like what it is that it's like this trust and reliance on what my head is telling me is truth. What my head is telling me is real and truth. And it's just not the case, you know? So when I first got abstinent and I was learning to trust and rely on something other than my mental defense, and then even going beyond that, something other than human, something beyond this physical world of ours, you know, like something in the spiritual realm, that's like, whoa, dude, that's way too much, man. And really, like, the only reason I'm willing to go there is because I understand how powerless I am over this. That I will always go back to food. I will always, always, always go back to food. And this is the only chance I stand, the only chance I have, is starting to develop this relationship with a higher power. And I wanted to say real quick too, I when I first got abstinent, I worked in a conference center where they created like all sorts of concoctions every night, bread and cakes and pies and all that stuff. And so the obsession was slow to lift for me. It took about a year. but I realized in that year over and over again that it was okay. It was good that the obsession was still with me because I was still, it brought me back to a higher power over and over again. Like, I have to learn to trust and rely on something different. And I need that motivation, you know? And so it brought me back to a higher power over and over again. So anyway, that's all I got. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Jordan L. Julie E.B., please share with us. Julie,
please. Hi, I'm here. Thank you for your help. Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. And boy, this paragraph, once again, what do I need to learn? I need to learn that I have no defense. And to tell you the truth, that is how I felt my whole life. As a child, as life happened to me, as I had little or no control over the things around me, even as I tried to learn about a higher power, you know, I just remember, boy, one year I had 3 car accidents, you know, set off a lifetime of back issues. And I just had no defense, you know, that running had been my defense, trying to achieve and be valedictorian, then that was going to be my defense. And then going to college or getting a job where I was pleasing other people, that was going to be my defense. And controlling the food, losing weight, binging on food, whatever it was all going to be my defense. Finding a husband, that was going to be to my defense. My beautiful kids, that was going to be to my defense. But meanwhile, I felt, as I've said many times, like my nerves were on the outside, like I had no protection, no defense. And this word defense comes up over and over again in this paragraph today. And what strikes me is not the reason I don't have a mental defense against first drink, because neither me nor any other human can provide such a defense. So I had to learn about a higher power voice, I had to put down the lower power voice that told me I wasn't good enough, I was never going to do anything, why bother, and begin to speak to myself with some of the kindness that I was capable of speaking to a friend in my best moments, and learn a higher power voice and listen for the amazing things, and to come across the first little prayer and promise and the big book that God would do for me what I can't do for myself. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Walina K., please share with us.
Hi,
Hi, my name is Rowena Kay from the United Kingdom. Thanks for letting me share. Yeah, I really like this paragraph because I can remember all the times when I had no effective mental defense against the first drink and what that felt like. And there never, ever was anything that could stop me from taking the first bite. And I, you know, I really, really tried because I believe that that mentally, you know, I could think my way through things, but I was always beaten by the food. And I find that, you know, it's not so much the food that I have to defend against now, but it's against life. And I just loved what other people shared about, you know, higher power being their defense against, you know, the hardships or the challenges, not the hardships, of life. And I guess, I'm also really reassured to be reminded that I'm learning how to make my higher power a working part of my mind, because it, you know, it isn't, it's not a working part of my mind. I pray in the mornings and then I forget to bring my higher power, you know, into situations throughout the day. And, you know, I find that the more I do that, the less stressed I am, the less obsessed I am about life and what's going on around me. I've got a situation at work where I'm working with someone who's a bully. He's not bullying me specifically, but just being in the situation is extremely stressful. And this happened yesterday. And normally I would have just gone into the food, but instead today I'm actually just praying about the situation, because although I know that, I feel like I'm quite early in recovery because I'm 6 months abstinent. And so I know that the situation will probably never feel perfect in my life, but it's better, you know, dealing with it this way than being in the food and just kind of suppressing all the feelings that come up around it. I'm in some fear about going to work today, because I'm going to be working with this individual again today. But I just know that it's worth it for me to actually just go in and do my best and pray as much as I can for the person who's bothering me, and most likely do a resentment, a step 10. I've just woken up, so I haven't had time to do that yet. So I'm just grateful to be in the solution today, my kind of a limited version of the solution, because I am learning to bring all these principles into my life and just to keep reaching and seeking my higher power. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rowena K. Christina J., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered for today, but not cured. And like so many have shared, once more. Now, why once more? Why wrapping up this paragraph? Why sealing the deal here? Because I have a lifetime of doing life a certain way. And obviously, being in the food doesn't work. Using the food to calm my emotions, to deal with life, doesn't work. And we've been shown several stories in this more about alcoholism, more about relapse, more about insanity chapter. And these stories are very important. They pound home the message. These guys couldn't do it. You can't do it. You know, and I've been in Vision OA since 2014, and all these years I've had this message pounded down into my head in various ways with different sponsors and trying to pound it into my own head. But it didn't quite work until the last sponsor and the last mile, I guess, I took with this and I learned in that last mile that I had to surrender. And what does that mean, surrender? It means I give up. I can't use the food for this emotional relapse. I can't use the food to make me feel better. I have to walk away from the food. I have no defense against that bite. I can't take another bite is what I told myself. I can't take this bite. It's not going to work. Not going to work. I don't have a defense against that first bite. So what has given me my defense and what holds me in place today is that last line, his defense must come from a higher power. I must have that. And, you know, the last few days I've been sort of off the wheel. I've been kind of not making as many calls as I usually do. I haven't had people calling me. And what has happened? I've slipped into sort of a dull ache, a dull fear. Something's not right. Now, what is that? That's my disease. That's like I'm not using the power of God in fellows. I'm not using the power of God in program as much as I usually do. And it scares me to death because I know that I can't take that first bite. I have no defense against it. Myself, I can do nothing. And it must come from staying connected. Now, what is that connection? Calls, journaling, meditating, two-way prayer, and sponsoring. One of the most important things, being of service. That's the highest praise to God, is being of service. So once more, they're going to pound it home to us. And it takes what it takes. And if you're out there suffering, you're going to have that step one experience at some point. Keep watching for it. Keep waiting for it, because it's going to happen. And you're going to be able to walk away from that bite that you thought was going to give you ease and comfort, but that you know won't. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. We have time for one and maybe two more shares. Would anyone like to share?
Kelly H.
Kelly H.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi, I'm Kelly H. From North Carolina, and today is my 81st day of being abstinent. Woohoo! And I like this paragraph a lot. It's very timely because even though I've been abstinent the last couple of weeks, and I'm newly recovered, I have just kind of stressed out a little bit with the whole sponsoring and had a couple of people where it looked like it was going to work out. And then after working with sponsees, they decided a different path was okay. And I released that and there were no hard feelings, but there was sort of a borderline relief. And because I'm in this 6-week period of a lot of stress, I was thinking, well, let me get through the next 6 weeks and then my schedule's wide open and I'll get to sponsoring like gangbusters. And I reached out yesterday to somebody and she said, nope, if you are busy, run to a sponsoring opportunity. And it's just because it's that spiritual principle. It does not make sense in the physical world of rules. But upon reflecting and thinking about this passage so much once more, I have to be reminded that this is a spiritual process. And when the spiritual principles are applied, the earthly principles don't really make sense. And so I'm really just grateful for the people who have been recovered and who are walking the path and who do share their experiences and their hope. Because for me, I am so blessed. Last night, I was able to start a conversation with a young lady who is just beginning abstinence and is scared about organizing a binge list. And immediately, in my heart, I just sense the Holy Spirit just saying, I need you to be helpful for her, to run this with her. And for however long that lasts, her experience is my experience too. And it's not codependent, it's spiritual. So I'm just so grateful that this is a spiritual process and that in my imperfections, it's a joy to meet, to have calamity meet serenity. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly, and congratulations on your day count. Okay, it's now time to close this meeting. Thank you all for being here and for sharing and listening. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. And I'm going to ask Christina J. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hello again, Christina J. from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.